I'm Nat.
And I'm Lizzie.
Welcome to The Third Space, a podcast by youth workers for youth workers to talk about the highs and lows of working with young folks outside of school and home. Today, we are talking with special guest Jess Levine about including youth with diverse social abilities. Hi, Jess.
Hello.
Hey, Jess, welcome to The Third Space.
Thank you so much.
Position, guest number two.
Great. So as per usual, we're going to start this episode off with a check-in. And Jess, we'll start with you in just a minute because you can tell us a little bit more about who you are and why you're here.
Great.
But I asked Jess before the show for a check-in idea that she likes, and she selected a check-in question, which was, if you could only see one color and everything else was in black and white, what color would you choose? So we will share names and pronouns and the answer to our question. And then I'm sure our listeners would like to know just a little bit more about your background. So take it away, JL.
Great. My name is Jess. Some people also call me JL. I use she, her pronouns. And if I could only see one color and everything else was in black and white, I would choose blue because there's not a lot of, I mean, there's the sky, but there's not a lot of like naturally occurring blue thing. So I feel like it would be extra special when it popped out. So it would maybe feel more exciting when I saw a blue thing.
And who are you? Why are you here?
I'm here. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I have been working with youth in a variety of capacities, camp counselor, preschool teacher, paraprofessional, therapist, really since I was a young person. And I first started working with young people sort of along the neurodivergence spectrum or umbrella, starting in late high school, early college. That's always been a population that I've enjoyed working with. And I run a social skills program at a community mental health organization, and work also individually with a lot of neurodivergent young people and their families. So that's why I'm here to talk about this topic.
Awesome. I'm Lizzie. My pronouns are she and her. If I could only see one color for the rest of, and everything else was in black and white, I think I would choose yellow because I really like the contrast between like gray and yellow. I think it's really like nice. And I really like when it's like fall and there's like a yellow tree on the gray sky. I really enjoy that. So I would go for that. And I'm really pumped to have Jess Levine here because Jess is the person who really introduced me to the concept of working with like the idea of diverse social abilities as a concept and thinking about using an accessibility perspective or framework to understand that. So I'm excited to bring her here and share her brilliance with others.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Nat. My pronouns are they, them. And if I could only see in one color, it would be indigo because that's my favorite color. Yeah. And to echo some of what Jess said, I had the thought when I was like, well, indigo, duh, because it's my fave, but also not a color you see very frequently in the world. So I think like naturally occurring. So I think it too would just be like, there it is. Yeah. Also worth naming for full transparency's sake that Jess is also a partner and co-owner and founder of Constellation Collective, intellectual home of this podcast, of The Third Space. And I also, to echo Lizzie, have really appreciated my own like learning and growing in this kind of like knowledge scape, both through this work and the various projects we have found ourselves working on together, Jess. So welcome.
Happy to be here.
So as our special podcast guest today, you get to kick us off with a story. So take it away. Tell us a story.
Excellent. So my story, I wanted to tell a story that took place not in like a neurodivergent specific space, but to talk about what kind of using an accessibility lens or framework looks like, in sort of a more general population space, or like mixed space, inclusion space. One of the things that I do in the summer is co-run a program that's a 2-day-a-week camp for 2nd through 5th graders. And our campers are placed in small groups, and we do just basically different day camp type activities. We go on field trips, we do arts and crafts, all that kind of stuff. And often the participants in our summer program are the same participants who do after school programming with us during the school year. So one participant we had over the last summer, the last 2 summers actually, has, I would say, a different way of engaging in program than maybe what we would expect, and what we observe from other young people. So he will kind of like dip in and out of activities. He often kind of prefers maybe to sit by himself or with a smaller group or engage more with adults than with his peers. He has a couple of interests that he really likes sharing about. So he really likes anime. He really likes reptiles. And I was thinking about last summer, one of the field trips we took was to a movie theater. And he was really uncertain about whether or not he even wanted to kind of go inside of the space. And was looking at the adults like, this is going to be scary or this is going to be too loud. Really was able to advocate for himself, in terms of like, maybe I'll go in and give it a try, but I also might want to just step out. And so we gave him a lot of different choices. His sister was also with us in the summer program. So we, you know, suggested they go in together. He sort of stood in the, I guess that, not the aisle, but like the entryway to the movie. So he could kind of see what was going on. Did that for a couple of minutes, then came back out. And we had, on all of our field trips, we always bring like alternative activities. So we had Uno, we had coloring books, things like that. So he ended up sitting right outside the theater with a staff person and his sister and playing Uno. And then the movie was The Little Mermaid. So like if there was a song that he really liked and he wanted to pop in and go watch that, he could go do that and then step back out. And I wanted to share this story, one, because I think there are like a couple of different pieces of what we did programmatically to allow this young person to kind of engage in a way that felt meaningful to him. But also, this young person has been in program with us for long enough that he also knows there's an established culture where it's okay for him to say, this is how I want to engage, this is how I feel able to engage, and the adults in this space are going to try to meet him there. So that's my story.
Yeah, I appreciate you naming some of those pieces outright, because I think that's what I was thinking a lot about as you were talking, just like how much, like, how many pre-conversations must have had. And you had already mentioned that this was a young person who, you know, is not new right. to the organization. And so, like, those relationships are helpful. But I think I'm also just think I know that the organization also, right, like, supports a lot of like interns in their professional development and growing. So I guess I'm curious a little bit as to like what it looks like to prepare people for, and maybe not specifically this young person, but like young folks who might participate similarly.
Totally. Yeah. And I was actually thinking about his counselor because I think we gave her a little bit of prep at the beginning of the summer. Of just like, these are things we generally see from this young person. Doesn't mean anything's wrong or like he's not having a good time, things like that. I don't think we talked to her a whole lot, but more broadly, kind of the training we gave all of our staff was around kind of maintaining curiosity and observing without making assumptions. So being able, which I think allowed his counselor to then come to us after maybe the first week of camp and say like, hey, these are some things I noticed. Like, is this generally this person's baseline? Or like, is there something more I'm supposed to be doing or not supposed to be doing? And so I really think often what I like to do in terms of prepping people is give them maybe the tools or the lens to see that there's more than one way for a young person to meaningfully engage in something, or that maybe what we think looks like somebody is engaged is not going to look the same across young people.
As you were talking, I was really thinking about your use of the phrase meaningful engagement, which you used in your story too, and just again now. And I think I'm really sitting with that because I'm also thinking about previous experiences I've had in other youth programs where engagement doesn't, needing to rethink what engagement means in a youth program for a variety of reasons, certainly in this way, but also engagement from like a anti-oppressive or anti-racist perspective, or engagement from you know, just like lots of different ways to think about engagement. What does it mean to quote unquote look engaged?
Right.
Assessing. How are we assessing youth engagement? And so I'm curious if you could just like talk a little bit about what engage, like what you mean when you say that, or what does meaningful engagement mean for you, or how are you assessing engagement?
I wrote that as one of my FAQs because people often ask me that. They're like, but get to know like, oh, you know, well, everyone's eyes are on me, so I know that they're listening, or everyone's bodies are still.
1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Right. 1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Yeah.
And certainly like for some young folks that really can be an indication. I think this is also where working really like relationally matters. Because I can check in with young people. And this does specifically come from like a neurodivergent specific space. But I have worked with young people where they have asked like, can I spin in this chair while we're doing check-in? And I can ask them at certain points, like, can you still hear us? Are you still with us? Or I'll just ask them a question in the conversation and they're giving a relevant answer, that's a clear indication to me that, okay, you just need more sensory input in order to remain engaged. So I think often what I'm looking for more broadly are those sort of like checkpoints of asking a young person a question and seeing like, do they still hear me? Or like, if I am close by to them, sometimes like physical proximity is what you need. And like getting on a young person's level and say like, hey, did you hear what this other person said? Or maybe they're not verbally engaging, but I can see their drawing and doodling, and what they're drawing is relevant to the conversation. So I think it's really, in some ways, like we have limited tools to be able to assess those things. I think like I do have to lean on like asking the young person a question, or looking at them and kind of seeing what I'm observing. And then if I'm unsure, being okay and being comfortable to go up and ask them like, hey, I'm not sure what I'm seeing here. Are you still with us? Is this something that you're still kind of tapped into?
I guess something I'm thinking about, which like that'll make sense to me, obviously, but I guess I'm also thinking about a place where I've seen struggle around this is when the primary purpose, or one of the primary purposes of the program is relational. Like it is a peer-to-peer relationship oriented context. And so when, for example, so thinking about my own youth work experience, like having a young person who clearly so here's what I'm like, this young person is showing up, so clearly wants to be there. Step one, like, but then the group will be sitting on one side of the room having a conversation, and this young person is literally sitting on the other side of the room doing something totally different, and has zero, and has been invited into the group and does not want to engage with the group. I think some people would see that and say, well, that person's not engaged, or that, like, why is that person even here? Because they're not, the purpose of this group is to make peer connections, and that person isn't engaging with their peers. So, like, I guess I'm curious, like, how you would reconceptualize that, or how you might think about that kind of situation.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Because I was like, the flow chart can kind of go in a couple different directions. Because there can be, like, the young person who is showing up, and like that's sort of their threshold is like, I am here kind of like coexisting with my peers. And that's maybe like where my skills are at this point, where my interest level is at this point. And I think that is different maybe than a young person who you see like attempting maybe to join and is not maybe getting the peer feedback that they want. It sounds like you're more talking about like the first example of like, I'm here in the space. The grown people are observing that like, I'm maybe more in like a parallel play place.
Sure. And I think trying to understand, right? Like, I think thinking about, I am often in a place of like leadership, right? Or like teaching others how to understand this. And I think something I think intuitively I have a sense that something good is still happening here. Like, I'm not like, get out, like, don't be here. Right. But I think I have a hard time articulating, or I've had a hard time articulating like, why is this still good? Like, why are we still allowing this to happen?
Right.
If where there might be another, a different young person where I might hold a different expectation because their I know that their capacity to engage is higher, which is kind of what you're differentiating.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm thinking, and then I can tell Matt, you want to jump in too. I'm thinking that that's maybe like the conversation to have is like, okay, we know the overarching purpose of this program is relationship development. And then I would maybe even like break down for the interns or like newer staff, like what are the skills and the tools we need in order to develop a relationship? And like, are our different youth participants at different stages in their own skill development? So like one of the things you need to develop a relationship with another person is like recognizing that other people are there and that they have interests and you have interests, kind of like theory of mind stuff. Like we are two different people and we're existing. And then I think there's like all of the social language piece that like, I'm wondering maybe this young person is not at the place where they can like jump into a conversation or engage for a prolonged conversation, but they are observing and like taking stuff in that way, which feels kind of connected to the parallel play stuff of like, I'm seeing what you're doing over there. I'm absorbing it in a different way. Obviously, I don't know the specific person you're talking about, or, you know, it's a hypothetical person. But thinking about like all of the different pieces that go into developing social relationships and being able to say kind of more broadly, this is a program where if you are consistently showing up and you're showing an interest in being here, our job is to support you in like whatever stage of social relationship development you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which could be, well, I was just thinking about this hypothetical person and like for them, it might be like, yeah, I really need like consistency or to feel like I really know someone to engage socially with them, in which case, like maybe I need 3 or 4 weeks of parallel play or like sessions, mm-hmm. like parallel play to know that. But I think I was, Lizzie, as you were asking your question, what I was thinking of from your story, Jess, was how much like self-driven, like self-determination mm-hmm. and youth choice is offered when, like in this instance, I mean, the fact that y'all's activity was going to a movie theater and y'all still had alternative activities like that, I'm like, brilliant. That's definitely something that would have flown over my head if I were planning like an outing to a movie theater like that. But then also, right, like even the example of like, so if there was like a song that he enjoyed or like a part of a movie that he did know that he enjoyed, like he could still go in there and watch it, right? Like this, like really empowering him to be like, yeah, man, like this experience gets to be whatever you want it to be,
right?
Within, right, like the limitations of like space or time or whatnot.
Yeah.
And thinking about then like how the parallel there to like the example that Lizzie named was, and whenever I think of like self-determination, I just think of like menu of options mm-hmm. and then who gets to, right? And so like maybe the menu of options is like, yeah, you can participate in the conversation or you can like sit and do whatever it is you're doing. And eventually you might choose something different on the menu.
Right.
Or you might just be the person who like every time you go to the restaurant, you pick the same thing. And that is also okay.
Yeah. Which also I'm just thinking about then. Modeling to young people too is one, like we're going to give you the same menu, even if we notice you're choosing the same mm-hmm. thing off of the menu every week.
Mm-hmm.
So not making the assumption that, you know, just because for the last 8 times we've met, you've sat at the table by yourself, that maybe the 9th time is going to be the time that you join the group. And I think it also, so that also models to the other young people, I am also going to be given a menu of options. Mm-hmm. And if there's a day where I come in and I am not feeling the activity or I am needing something different socially, that there's going to be room for that, which I think is a powerful thing also for new youth workers to hear mm-hmm. that like you can have a plan. And you can have like a larger intended goal of the program that you're running. And there's still room within that. And there really has to be room for flexibility and meeting young people with what they're bringing.
I'm thinking about, and I know that Jess, you and I have had many conversations about this in the past, but I was thinking about, I feel like now you kind of brought this up in your statement, but providing the menu of options like within the limitations of what mm-hmm. you can actually do. Mm. And I know that I personally have struggled with that quite a bit. And it feels this is a little jumbly, but I'm having like a connected thought between that and also like the accountability piece mm-hmm. of like you get to make choices, but then you're accountable to your choices.
Right.
And like, we're not infinitely flexible. Like I can't just like
totally
let you do whatever, right? And I know that's not the perspective that you hold, but I think it's, I've sat in conversations where I know that's very difficult to be like, I want to meet your needs. And also I'm limited in terms of space or staff or literally materials or whatever the case may be. And just thinking about how you think about that or approach that from this perspective.
Yeah. You're just all over my FAQs today.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I do think, certainly like when you are, I think being in the realm of like accessibility and meeting young people where they're at, there is, I think, often a pull to include everybody and kind of like be everything to everyone, which often is not possible.
No.
And ultimately doesn't end up setting the young person up for success or setting staff up for success, right? So I think often what I try to do both in kind of like integrated, inclusive spaces and even in more kind of neurodivergent skill spaces that I run is I need to have a really clear sense up front, assuming that like I'm running the program or I'm in a leadership position, of kind of like what is the bare minimum threshold that we need to have in order for somebody to be a part of the program. And so I've certainly had conversations with young people, with families where it's not a good fit and where we have to say, you know, based on what we're observing or based on what your needs are, this is not going to be a space that ends up feeling good for your young person. So I've had that happen, you know, whether it's, again, going back maybe to your example of a young person where maybe it's a little bit unclear sort of where they're at in their capacity to build relationships, is thinking about interest level. So like, you have some indication that this young person wants to be there because they keep showing up and it's a voluntary thing. And it's, you know, it seems to mean something to that person. Whereas if you had a young person show up every week, but, you know, say like, I hate being here or my parent made me get on the bus or whatever it might be. And they're then also not sitting with the group, not responding to invitations to sort of engage, that feels different to me and feels like it would warrant a conversation with the young person of like, hey, it doesn't actually seem like you want to be here. And so I'm wondering, again, speaking to that menu of options, like, is it possible that like, this isn't the right space for you? And then sort of seeing where the young person goes with that, because then they might say, no, I do want to be here, but like none of these activities are working for me. And so then it's like, okay, well, can we have a conversation about like, we try to be really intentional in offering lots of different things. So what is it that's not working about what we have? But I think starting out from a place of clarity for myself helps guide those later conversations of like, what could be going on for the young person? Is this a good fit? Is this not a good fit? And often I think I leave the door open for like, not every season is going to be a good fit for somebody too. So, there are lots of different reasons why people engage socially in the way that they do. And I think being able to make space for that and say like, hey, this just may not be the right moment for you is not a shaming thing or like you're doing something wrong. It's just like we as human people have seasons of life where things are working for us in one way that maybe facilitates engaging with others and other times where like we need more time to work on other stuff.
Can I, I ask a question that feels like it pulls a little from the scenario that Lizzie shared, but also a specific detail, descripting detail of this. So like, because I think we're talking a lot about how to best like support and prepare adults mm-hmm. for supporting young folks who might be in this situation. But when you mentioned that, like, the way that this, like, young person typically shows up, like, they have some really specific limited interest. Maybe their interests aren't limited, but it seems like they often want to talk about, like, perhaps one of their things that they feel passionately about. What about, like, supporting peers if, say, like, the young person only ever, right? Like, but maybe isn't like is part of like a group conversation, but seems like rather than like being an active participant is only ever bringing back to one of these like specific interest points. And it seems to be impacting the group.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like I've done this in a number of different ways, in different groups. Sometimes it's sort of like there's a bit of scaffolding of broadening the interest. Mm. So like not asking the young person to have a broader interest, but, you know, let's say it's anime and they are really into, you know, an anime show that is about volleyball, which I know is a thing.
I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
So deep cuts.
Then I might, if there's not another person in the group who enjoys anime or another person in the group who watches that specific show, I might then connect, like, maybe there's somebody in the group who enjoys playing volleyball in real life or mm. who enjoys other animated TV shows or something like that. Sometimes that is like a win and really lands. Sometimes the young person really does just want to talk about their one thing.
But in the show?
Right. In the show, this is what happened.
Right.
So that's kind of like one tack I've taken. I think sometimes I have to ask myself, like, is it a problem or like, does it seem to be distressing or upsetting to like the young person that nobody seems as into their thing mm. as other people? Because if it doesn't, and they feel like I get to share my thing and like other people listen and are respectful and like maybe ask a question, and that kind of like fills their bucket and then other people are engaging in another way. I don't see anything wrong with that,
mm-hmm.
right? I think if their peers get to a place where they're like, that's annoying or stop talking about that or like, this is too much, I think that's also where kind of jumping in at that point, providing some scaffolding for those young people to say like, you know, have you ever had something that just like you're super excited about or really... depending on it, really passionate about, mm-hmm. And like, it's just a really strong focus of yours. I think there's a lot of room for empathy building. And I think it's also okay to tell them, like, it's okay to tell this person, like, I don't really want to talk about that right now. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do that that isn't saying like, you're annoying or like what you're doing is bad that it can just be like, so cool that you like that. Like, I don't really know too much about it or like, we're actually talking about something else right now. But that doesn't mean like, I don't care about you as a person or I don't think like you're valuable as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So helping them maybe like distinguish between, kind of like how somebody is showing up in a space and what their interests are, and just like honoring people's humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know you had a list of FAQs.
I did.
Was there anything that, is there anything that feels...
that Lizzie hasn't?
Yes, according to you. And then I have lightning round experiment.
Oh,
but excellent. Finish your... I want to make sure that you get space to say what you feel that the world needs to know.
Oh, yes. It wasn't on the agenda.
No.
I'm
being flexible.
Mm. And responsive.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other thing that, like when I've talked about this stuff with youth workers and other professionals is like, there's sometimes a fear of like, if I jump in or intervene, to provide scaffolding or support to a young person in a social situation, I'm going to make them feel bad or feel called out. Like, you didn't pick up on this joke, or you didn't know that, you know, pop culture reference that person was talking about, or whatever it might be. And so I just want to highlight that, particularly if you are working with folks who don't pick up on like indirect communication, continuing to be indirect is not helpful. So if you notice, you know, a group of young people and somebody makes a joke and one person is looking at you like, what happened? I clearly missed something. You just expecting them to get it or to just be left out, is not helpful. So being able to jump in and say, hey, I think, you know, this is what the joke was about, or, again, being able, I feel like I talked about this a little bit ago, but, you know, I've certainly been in positions where I'm like, I'm not sure what they're joking about. Maybe they can explain it to both of us, because there are so many niche interests and things that people like that we might not know.
And I was going to say, as someone who knows very little about like very current pop culture,
right,
I'm just like, I'm out.
Totally. So like also normalizing that, like, it's okay to not always know exactly what's going on, and that doesn't mean something's wrong with you.
Ready for your lightning round?
Is this a competition or is it just for Jess?
No, it's just for Jess.
Oh, okay.
It's more just because I think, I feel like we've spent a lot of time in this conversation thinking conceptually about these things, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like one of the things that I've learned the most from Jess that I would like for other people to learn too is like, what do I say?
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
I love providing.
What do I say when? So this is my lightning round for Jess, where I provide a short scenario and the question is, what do I say? And you just provide one set of language. I will provide the caveat for you that there are many things that one could say in many of these situations. So obviously this is just like an off the cuff.
WWJLD.
Yes. What would Jessica mean to you? This is just
like,
you know.
I'm so excited.
You are with a group of young people and one young person makes a joke that is very funny and other people laugh. That person loves that the joke they made was really funny and they continue to make that joke repeatedly, even though the rest of the group has moved on. You notice that at least one, possibly several of the other people in the group are starting to get annoyed and like roll their eyes.
Yeah.
What would Jess Levine do?
So I recently talked about this in another setting. So I would first, like, validate the fuzzy feelings that the person got, right? Like, it was so cool when people laughed at your joke. It seemed like they were really into what you said. I'm noticing that, like, other people might be ready to move on. Do you want to start, like, thinking of another joke that you could share next week or in a couple of minutes? Or like, maybe we need to find you a new audience. So kind of like finding a way to still be strengths-based and be like, don't stop making jokes. It's just like, I want to fill you in that now this room is like done with this particular joke. And I think also I would, because sometimes young people are not always the most direct communicator. Sometimes they're super direct. And I think depending on like what age group you're in, they might start getting less and less direct with each other. And so, especially if you're sort of getting the annoyed vibe without any specific naming, I might encourage the young people to also say, like, is there something you could say to your peer to let them know, like, you want to move on? Or like, can you come up with another joke and like find a way to make it a point of connection?
Mm-hmm. Round two. You are in a group youth space setting, and a young person who has some social connections with other people in the room, but certainly isn't like the most popular or like the most well-connected. That person, they're having a group conversation, and that person makes a very declarative, judgmental statement about their perspective on something that is offensive to someone else in the room. And the other person tries to like share how they felt about it. And then this person becomes more and more defensive and more rigid about their perspective. What would Jess Levine do?
Yeah. Oh, that's so juicy. I think
Macy loves a juicy
surprise. I think the first thing I would do is probably like ask us to move out of a public space. Because I imagine like for both of the people engaging in the conversation, like that is just adding to some of the heat of the moment. So like, let's see if we can step out. I think I would also maybe use this as an opportunity for like some seed planting of like some soy language of like, it sounds like y'all are not on the same page about this. And I'm going to assume that you, that like, this isn't like a super high value situation, but being able to say like, okay, have you heard of soy? It's some people, other people you might. So like, maybe it's about which Marvel character is the best. And so like some people think that it's Iron Man and other people think that it's the Hulk, and you might think it's neither of those characters, and you think that it's Spider-Man. And I think being able to sort of de-escalate requires a little bit of like, no one's opinion here is right or wrong. I think I might also, I'm like feeling the need for like physical movement or like space from each other. I'm just like, I can feel the tension of this. And that I imagine for both of the young people, like the stakes are feeling very high for defending their position on whatever it might be. And then at a future point when people are not so heated, I might invite them into a conversation of like, did you notice how your words seem to land for this other person? Did you notice like what their body was looking like or what their face was looking like? That can also be really good assessment for you as the grown person in the space of like, if they didn't notice any of that, then that might also be a clue to you of like, okay, I need to maybe support this young person in a more intentional way when they're engaging with their peers versus just like having them in a less structured space.
Okay, final round. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay, you are in like a more structured discussion group, like support group setting, or like it's a structured conversation with young people. There is, or an educational space or something, goal directed. There is a young person who frequently struggles to like engage in sort of like sitting down conversations, like not a strength of this young person, needs a little more movement, needs to take a lot of breaks, like that kind of thing. There is another young person in the space who doesn't have the same kinds of challenges, but is somewhat, the social work school phrase resistant client is coming to mind. Like, mm-hmm. it's a little bit like not be there, yeah. like not totally sure that, like, hasn't really bought into the space. So that young person sees this other young person following the agreed upon plans to take breaks, movement, use fidgets, like all the things that they're doing to set themselves up for success. And this other client says, they get to walk out of the room. Why don't I? Mm. How do you respond?
Yeah. I mean, I think part of me is thinking, if this is a space I'm in, then there's been like a pre-established conversation of like, we all need different things in this space sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so being able to kind of like go back and like lean on something like that. And I think often when I get questions like that from young people, it's either like underneath the question, I think sometimes is like, are my needs going to get met too? Or like, do you see that I also have needs? And so being able to validate that and maybe even getting curious with that person, like, is this a moment where you feel like you need to step out or like you need a break? So I feel like that's sometimes a thing, or there's like a fairness element of like, mm-hmm. I think sometimes I would say often young people are not necessarily in spaces where the idea that people have different needs in order to be set up for success is like a norm. And it's just like, everyone has to do this. Or there's like a binary between like, these are the people who are expected to do everything as is, or like you get lots and lots of accommodations and there's not like the flexibility of like, sometimes you need a little extra and sometimes you need a little less. And so I think I would almost like not turn the question back on the person, but I would just wonder with them, like, what's feeling important about that to you? Or like, is there something you feel like you're not getting in this space or something that like we missed in your needs? Because that might give me more information to say, like, they're just not that into what we're doing, or they actually like need something that we missed.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sure.
They weren't really that lightning.
Well,
fast, but no one's impressed.
I'm rarely fast at anything.
But that brings us to our checkout. So it's time to do our checkout. So as per usual, we will do a takeaway from the conversation. Nat Duran, get ready. It's coming to you. What is your takeaway from the conversation with the one and only Jess Levine today?
Well, I feel like so much. I feel like I should have been thinking about this throughout the entire episode, but I was too busy being present. I think, I don't know. I don't know if I have the exact one right now, but I feel like it's from the lightning rounds. So that's why I feel like there is a lot that you've shared here that none of it was entirely new to me. And particularly as you were responding to some of those lightning rounds, I was thinking about some of the youth spaces that I'm in currently and what that might look like. And particularly like the fairness conversation, like especially for young folks who like, because I feel like there is not a broad developmental stage, actually like several developmental stages where young people are concerned about like fairness. And I think about the like equality, equity, justice, like, difference, and how, right, like, I think for a lot of young, for much of a lifespan of a young person, equality is what feels like fair, but in actuality, like you said, like, people have different needs, and so just, like, thinking through how I might, right, because right now it's, like, springtime, like, many of the program settings I'm thinking of, we are like far into,
right.
We're not at the place where we're just like setting the expectations. And so it feels a little bit like having to like go back and do like a backwards work. And so what does it look like to bring some of those like language points or frameworks to the, okay, but like, here's where we're at now and incorporate it moving forward. So
I feel like my take, or one of the things I'm specifically sitting with, is the in the conflict scenario and the follow-up question about, like, did you notice, like, that did you notice the body language? Did you notice? And thinking about that as an assessment tool for future engagement or intervention. And I, one of the things that I feel I often get from engaging with you around this topic is, like, permission to jump in. When you're like, I'm watching it and it's all going to shit.
Yeah.
And I, this is not good, but I don't know how to help. And like, I don't want to do the wrong thing. And like, I just feel like really sort of like, to me, I feel like part of the value of like this framework is like taking seriously people's limitations in terms of reading the room. Like literally some people cannot read the room. And so if you are not taking that serious, if you take that seriously as a limitation, I think it gives a lot of permission that it is actually helpful or constructive to like jump in and provide that support or scaffolding to someone as they're trying to work on or develop that skill, if that's a goal for them. And so I think I'm really like sitting with that in terms of like, just like, I'm trying to sort of think through the different youth contexts I've been right now of like, where would that permission be more about be most valuable, or where right now could I be jumping in? Just, I was just having a conversation about that this morning of like observing a social dynamic and being like, but feeling like, well, I don't want to like mess with the vibe, you know, like whatever, but feeling like that is not helpful to that young person. So sitting with that and feeling motivated to like hop in a constructive way.
Right. Do I share a takeaway?
You, yes, I was just about to say, Jess, you could share a takeaway from engaging in this conversation, or a takeaway that you would like other people to take away, like a thing that you are hoping take away.
Yeah. Well, I just love talking about all of this stuff. And I really enjoyed the lightning round. It just, I feel like, especially thinking about that piece of when young people ask the question of like, why does this person get XYZ? Like, what are the things behind that? So that just feels like it's going to help me in a lot of my own work. And I would say what I hope people take away from this conversation is being able to stay curious with what young people are bringing to the table. And I think, Lizzie, like you said, like taking seriously the observations that you make to be able to sort of partner with young people to see what those things you're observing are about.
And that's it for this episode of The Third Space. We hope you'll be back next time for real this time, for our episode on summer programming, because this wasn't it. We'd love to have listener questions and ideas on future episodes, so please send us your brilliance in a voice memo or an email. Until next time, thanks, youth workers. We appreciate all your work.